for Direction with Pastor Errol Daniel, sponsored by the Streams of Power Ministries and St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
My duty is to feed the sheep as well as the lambs. So I should love everybody and feed everybody. I should have a message for the older ones as well as the younger ones, for the saints as well as the sinners. That's the message I'll carry until I can't carry anymore. And at that time, when I am replaced, I trust that the one who will come behind me will carry the same message. You know, when John was killed, Jesus came on the scene preaching the same message. Do you all know that? I want you to know your Bible. John the Baptist was killed. They didn't like the message that he preached. I believe that Herod would have repented, but Herodias, my God, Herodias. If you know the Bible, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe Herod would have repented when John said, "It is not right for you to have the woman that you have as your wife. She belongs to your brother." And Herodias said, "Oh, it's so," because she was the woman that Herod had. She set up her daughter, a beautiful young lady who knew how to dance. And Herod's birthday had come, if you know the scripture. And she danced, and she danced. Whether it was merengue or teringue, I don't know, but she just danced. And what I do know, that her dancing pleased him. Moved him off his feet, blew his mind, and he said, "Ask of me anything, and I'll give it to you up to the half of my kingdom." And that man had wealth. But she went home and she talked to her mother. And her mother said, "All you need to ask him for is for the head of Herod." What a woman. I beg your pardon? John the Baptist? What did I say? She asked, thank you. She asked for the head of John the Baptist. That is, Herodias said to her daughter, "Go and ask for the head of John the Baptist." Do I have it right now? Whose head do you want? Whose head do you want? There are always those who want the preacher's head. Especially if he's a preacher of righteousness. I wonder why I'm going there. And so can you see her dancing? She danced and she danced. And he made his promise. And her advisor didn't want to break from the lifestyle. That was her mother. She said, "Go and tell him you want the head of John the Baptist." And she got it on a charger, like in a waiter, in a tray. A dead head. A dead head. A dead head. I wonder what she could have done with that dead head. But now that John the Baptist was dead, the preaching was not dead. The preaching went on. Amen. Jesus came on the scene. And he preached the same message. The message of repentance, that people should turn away from their sins and turn to the true and living God. When you pray for me and my family, I do appreciate it. We do appreciate it. We want to be faithful to the Lord and announce the message loud and clear. It's a message from the Lord. But except we repent, we shall all likewise perish. I want to be what? An old-time Christian. The old-time Christians, the old-time preachers, and man, they rarely preach. And that was responsible for people to examine themselves and to turn to the Lord. These days, we want people to be comfortable in the churches. I'm not just talking about air condition. I'm talking about being comfortable. One sister, some of you would know her, I wouldn't name her, but she's gone. Not only from this church, before she left this church. One day when I saw her and I asked, well, haven't been seeing you, where are you going? She said, I'm going to another church. And Pastor D, they're pampering me there. Sister Scott, it's not true. I am being pampered. John Hagee would say, take off your diapers. Get in your army's outfit. Because this is war. This is holy war. And I don't promise to pamper anybody, but to let you all know that this is war. The spirit is wrestling against the flesh. And the flesh is wrestling against the spirit. These are not the days to be pampered. These are the days to move as soldiers. No wonder we don't hear these songs so much again. Onward, Christian babies in pampers. Onward, Christian soldiers. Marching as to war, looking unto Jesus, who is gone before. What an army. What an army of Christian soldiers. We're going to, by the grace of God, love each other and serve each other, but this is not the time to be pampered. Marlene, it's good to see you. We missed you for a little while. We knew where you were. Thank God for you today. And those who perhaps who have been difficult times and you didn't say anything, but the Lord has brought you out, thank God for bringing you out. I owe it to you to talk to you this way. You know, so that you can understand I am not here by chance, but by choice. I'm here for a purpose. God bless you all abundantly. I want to share something with you today from another portion of Scripture. I've not quoted anything from theirs yet, but maybe about 20, 25 minutes or so. So, Pastor, can you make it in 25 minutes? You normally aren't able to. But I'll try. Are you glad to be here?
Amen.
So glad to be here?
Amen.
If you are, can I see your hands clapping them for Jesus? If you are. So glad I'm here in Jesus' name. But motive must be right. The motive must be right. Somebody said, I don't know what you come to do. That's on the right and on the left. I don't know what you come to do. But I come to praise the Lord. Would you state it if that is what you've come to do? Tell somebody so. I've just come to praise the Lord. I just came to praise the Lord. He came into my heart. It was a very special day. He came into my heart and he said, he'll never depart. That is why I say, I just came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 1. Second book in the Bible, Exodus chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis is known as the book of the beginnings, while Exodus, departure. So we moved out of Genesis and we come to the book of Exodus. In the last chapter of the book of Genesis, maybe we should refer to it, at verse 14, the last chapter. It's not difficult to find. Once you're in Exodus 1, you just turn a page and you should see Genesis 50. Your Bible readers, my encouragement to you at all times, bring your Bible with you. Bring your songbook with you. Bring your notebook with you. And bring your checkbook with you. Your Bible is to confirm that what is being said from the pulpit, it is so. So you get an opportunity to read for yourself and to see for yourself. Your songbook, that when we're singing hymns that are not normally sung or normally sung, but you don't remember them, you can turn to your hymnal and sing along. Your notebook is to make notes, and I see a lot of you do that from time to time. You ought to do it. You make notes. Because what you hear is not only for you, you're supposed to share with others. So you make jottings. There are those who can tell what I preached last week, the week before that, last month, and the month before, and the year. Some from time to time, Pastor, do you preach this message some time ago and show the date? I like that. It's a good habit to cultivate. So chapter 50, Genesis, from verse 14, it says, and Joseph returned into Egypt. He and his brethren and all that went up with him to bury his father. After he buried his father, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, but they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. Are you seeing it? If I pause there, there's a scripture that says we should not render evil for evil. His brothers did to him a lot of evil. While father was alive, he kept peace among them, although they lied to him, all of them. Except this Joseph. They lied about the death of Joseph, the beloved son, all because that son had a dream that one day God was going to elevate him, that both mother and father and brethren would fall down before him. And to make matters worse, as we would say, his father made for him a coat of many colors. And so they hated him. And had it not been for the mercy of God, Joseph would not have lived to be, I think it's 110 years. We'll get to that just now. But he lived. All his life was not smooth. Are you hearing me? All of his life was not smooth. And that's why I'm saying again, if you're here to be pampered, you're not in the right place. Because as a child of God, may I say to you, they that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, while evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving as they themselves have been deceived. What a type of Christ Joseph was. So he didn't have it all easy. Not even his brothers dealt well with him. But I repeat, by the grace of God, he made it. So don't expect me to pamper you. That sister I'm talking about, she's dead and gone. I wish she had been alive, and let me remind her. Don't sit in the pews to be pampered. Salt this earth. Light this world. Put on your army shoes. Let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take the shield of faith. Take the sword of the Spirit, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. It's in Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 10. And pray with all prayer and supplication for all saints, said Paul, and for me, that I may open my mouth boldly to speak as I ought to speak. Joseph was victorious because the Lord was with him. You read the book of Genesis and you will find out that regardless of what they did to him, you would read as a chorus, the Lord was with him. And when the Lord is with us, we're okay. When the Lord of hosts is with us, press the button, we're okay. The amen button. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. But the time came when Joseph died, and his brothers looked at him and they said, peradventure, in verse 15, peradventure, Joseph will hate us. Jacob, Joseph will hate us. Don't try to lead me astray. Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead. They said, Joseph. No, it's Joseph. Because they're the ones who did not treat Joseph well. And so Joseph sat in the seat where they thought that he would render evil for evil. But when you're really a born-again child of God, you don't do that. You don't do that. Evil, did you not read it in the book of Psalm? Evil shall slay the wicked. Did you not read it? Brother Telemach read that scripture with us. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. It's only a matter of time. And they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. We are going up and they are going down. Where's that amen bell? Amen. We're going up and we're going down. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I know the million-dollar teaching. I know the no-problem teaching. But the scripture teaches otherwise. And I want to be true to the scripture. He brings me through affliction. He leaves me not alone. He is with me in temptation. He chose me for his own. And the refrain says, it is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Jesus walked up to Simon, said, Simon, Simon, Satan's desire is to have you, to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you And when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. That's why I need your prayers. No place for hate. Verse 16. They sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, Joseph, forgive, I pray you, thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto you, they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants, or of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they speak unto him. Not weeping with animosity, there's a word like that. Not weeping with revenge. But God had already tendered his heart. One preacher who went on before me also said, don't let anyone ever cause you to lose touch with God and send you to hell by you not forgiving them. Just forgive them. Regardless of what they have done, just forgive them. In the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. For if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us. So they said, before our father died, he said that you must forgive us. Now that he is dead, we bring it to your attention. Forgive us. And he wept. He wept. Verse 18. His brethren also went and fell down before his face. He had that dream. Hello? He had that dream as a young man. You know, whatever God has ordered will come to pass. There's some prophets, so-called, who are selling prophecies, and some Vincentians and others buying prophecy like they're buying tree. It's a pity they don't know the scripture. Prophecy is not for sale. Neither is prophecy to make you just feel good and excited. You cannot live your life by prophecy. In this scripture, they brought to his attention what Father had said. And the Bible says, as I fell down before his face, they said, behold, we be thy servants. He had said that to them, but not with false pride. Joseph said unto them, I love it, verse 19. Fear not, for, question, am I in the place of God? You know what that is bringing to me? The scripture that says, anybody knows? Begins with V. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. When God finished with those who are trying to make it miserable for the children of God, it is better they were not born. That's why we have to learn to just look here. That's why we have to learn to. A little child years ago said it to me. I don't even know her. And I'm longing to meet her. She's no little child anymore. Because it was a long time ago. Exodus 14:14. The Lord shall fight for you. And you shall hold your peace. I said, little boy, what did you say? I am not a boy, I'm a girl. I said, say it again. Exodus 14:14. The Lord shall fight for you. And you shall hold your peace. Too many of us are fighters and we're losers, but we're still fighting. There's some battles you should just let the Lord fight for you. When life troubles are in my way, I can't tell my night from day. When I'm tossed from side to side, like a ship on a rolling tide, I don't worry, I don't fret. God has never failed me yet. Troubles come from time to time, but that's all right. I don't worry at all because I have confidence. God will see me through, no matter what the case may be. I know he's gonna fix it for me. Out of Grenada, there's a jumpy song. Fix me business, Lord. Fix me business for me. Fix my business, Lord. That sister, she sings that bomb. I'm telling you. First time I heard it, I don't move normally, you know, with that kind of a movement that some of you can make. But when I heard, fix me business for me, Lord. I said, yes, Lord. Fix my business for me. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He is able. Oh, I remember what some of you have heard me say already. I was in Montreal, Canada some years ago. I was on a preaching assignment. So when I came out of the church and was looking around, I saw a sign. Mr. Fix It. So I drew a little closer and read in big bold letters, Mr. Fix It, but in small letters, like some insurance do. You know, some people who have a certain agenda, small letters that they call fine prints. With the fine prints, guess what? Mr. Fix It can fix anything but a broken heart. You didn't get it? Yes. But the Lord Jesus Christ is a fixer, is a mender of even a broken heart, a wounded heart, a broken heart. Jesus is able to fix that also. Verse 20, I just have to stay here. But as for you, you my brothers, as for you, you thought evil against me, but God, I said, but God, amen. But God meant it unto good. For your good, you did what you did. God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Love the Lord, my man. You all love the Lord. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. One host shall encamp against me. My heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after. But I may dwell. I ain't going to go to no pig pen. No, this is the house of the Lord is the safest place. You listen to testimonies. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. For years, whenever I would bring the joyful news so close, I would always say, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I don't do the intro and the outro anymore. I'm glad for my helper, but I'm longing to hear some of these things, and you'll just come back. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There was a time when we came here to worship, and the first song you'd have heard, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him, Lord of all. Crown him, you martyrs of your God. You gentle sinners, never forget the wormwood and the gall. Go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him, Lord of all. Crown him. You meant evil, but the plan of God was for good. Ah, God, we praise you. Now, therefore, fear not. You know what I will do for you and to you? I will nourish you. I will what? Joseph is talking. His father was dead. His brothers were scared to death. They thought that Joseph would kill them. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, some wicked people would like for wicked people to kill them. You ask Saul about that. Saul despised the preacher, and what the preacher said to him, he found himself at an Obeah woman, never tell me you're going to take a bath. If it's the sea, it's fine. If it's the river, it's fine. But you see that Obeah man, that Obeah woman, and you're a child of God, and you're going to take a bath? Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus? You don't need no bath from no Obeah man or Obeah woman. You want them to stink you up? You don't need it. You don't need it. If the Lord would not fix it, nobody can. So, this Saul stood before the Obeah woman. She was scared to death when she saw a certain movement. Later on, when Saul was dying in battle because he rejected the word of the Lord also rejected him, and he was now dying. Although he disguised himself and went up to fight, he was shot and was wounded. And he said to one of his soldiers, finish it. You kill me. Not one of them would touch him. Not one. Not one. There's some people who wish you can kill them. Do not do it. Let nobody hire you to be a hitman. Hire nobody. Let nobody hire you. Let nobody use you to say, sick him. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The scripture says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. If anybody wants to do their dirty job, let them do it. But you must not be a part of it. I've told you before, and I'm telling you again. You're a child of God to live to the glory and praise of God. Me, Joseph? I, Joseph? No. I ain't going to do what you think I'm going to do. But I will nourish you. And not only you, I'm going to nourish your little ones. So he comforted them and they speak kindly unto him. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change. Finally, Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. Joseph lived, 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know why is that so? Because God is a covenant-keeping God. Everything that he said he will do, he will do it. He didn't say he will do it when you want him to do it, but he will do it right on time. He's a covenant-keeping God. So the Bible says, verse 25, Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. That intro is very long, because I really wanted to go to Exodus. But it's a very long intro. I would leave the rest for another time. But just to say to you, when Joseph died, another king arose who did not know Joseph. All that Joseph did in Egypt to preserve the lives of the people and to help the then ruler, there arose another king, did not know Joseph. And that is why, with all you knowing, make sure you know God. Amen. Because man will die. Man will change. And if you do not know God, when man change, when people die, you can be in for a lot of, somebody's saying, trouble. Get to know God. Thank God for Godfathers. But you need to know God. Amen. One final point. The people who know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. You're not going to make it because of me or because of your loved ones. You're going to make it because of God. Amen. God. Our help in ages past. A hope for years to come. Our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal hope. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Cleanse us, O Lord, from all unrighteousness. Create in us a clean heart, O God. And take not your Holy Spirit away from us. Restore unto us the joy of thy full salvation. And renew a right spirit within us. Prayers have already been ascended to you for those who are not yet born again. And if there are those who are not in this building today, when I make the call in a few moments, I ask of you that they would respond. They will turn to you because one day it will be too late. I pray for backsliders. I ask, O Lord, that you'd cause them to come to their senses as the prodigal did in the pig pen. There are those who are places today, Father. They know they're not being helped. They know that they're not prospering. They know that everything is going. Shortly everything will be gone. Before they get to that place where they would take their own lives or would become angry with the world when they really should blame themselves for leaving you. I ask, O God, that you would have mercy today. Have mercy. Good Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. For the short time that we still have on planet Earth, help us and teach us to number our days, but would apply our hearts unto wisdom. Yes, Lord, thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Now for the call. Let's stand. We're going to make a call. I'm glad you have said yes to the Lord, but just for adventure, there's somebody who might be here today who hasn't done it. It's not time to look around. It's a time to further my prayer for such a one, or even to assist such a one to come publicly today. You're not a loser when you know God. You're a winner. Is there anybody here today? Just as who is that person? Leave where you are at this moment and come for public prayers on your behalf. Perhaps you're at home. I don't expect you to leave your home and rush to the church, but you can find a quiet place before God where you would sit, go, God, I come. You might be driving a motor vehicle and you want to pull aside. The invitation is important. Will you come? Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse its spot. Oh yes. We're not going to expose you to any camera work. We're not going to do that. That's not what we want to do. We want you to come and give your life to Jesus. Just as I am, thou wilt receive. Last stanza. You don't have to go home and do something before you come. You come just as you are. You'll be welcome. You'll be pardoned. Is anybody else? Thank you very much. Remember, help is available to you. You may call the telephone number 456-1636. That is for those who live in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. 456-1636 or 456-1057. Perhaps you don't have a telephone, but you may like to write to us. The mailing address is Post Office Box 443, St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
We are out of time. We have to stop there for today. But I trust that the Word of God will have recourse in your hearts. If we can be of further help to you, please get in touch with us and let us know. You can write to us at Direction, PO Box 443, St. Vincent, West Indies. You can also call us at 784-456-1636 or visit us online at streamsofpower.com. We look forward to hearing from you. So until next time, may God bless you richly.